slowly rolling into it and off of corner number four. It's showtime at Skagit Speedway.
Through turn three and off of corner number four, Steven Hendrickson picks up the win here for the Sportsman.
Showtime!
One car with the front of it that was junk, and another car with the back of it was junk. So I cut both of them in half, took the good part of one car and the good part of the other car, and welded up the other.
The reason why I decided to move to Sean's number and use it was just because in memory of Sean was his V8. And, I just kind of lived for racing and racing with his number just to remember him by.
Racing, and next thing you know, she's on the flag stand running the, doing flag and all my quarterback. I'm like, where did you come from?
You definitely have to want it. You can't just say you want it. You got to want it. You got to have that desire that drives you.
I hope they just, soak it all in, because you don't know when it could be over, right? Mom and Dad can't do this anymore, right? We don't have the money, or we can't find the sponsors, whatever it is. I just soak it all up while it's happening.
That was at Elma. This is a different track. I don't think it'll be the same thing. He's like, oh, okay, you can throw it on. We threw the GoPro on his car, and he actually did pretty good that night, I believe. So we're like, see? I convinced him. I was like, see, it's only at Elma. You can't run a GoPro. And then the next week, I believe he blew up a motor with the GoPro on. So I haven't put a GoPro on his car since then.
Welcome into this edition of On the Gas, a Skagit Speedway podcast, episode 13. Blake Anderson, Eric List here with you today. And Blake, we're coming down to the end of it. It's season championship weekend presented by Skagit Casino Resort. Two nights of racing here at Skagit Speedway, Friday and Saturday night. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge weekend. As you said, Friday and Saturday, we've got a busy weekend and full programs, so it's a new format for us on season championship. I really like it. I think it's going to provide more racing. It's going to make it more fun watching the points. It's two completely full nights. It's a regular night, normal night, nothing special other than season championship. It's the last night, but qualify, heat race, A main, same as like you just saw last week, both nights, so that's going to be fun. Had a busy weekend this past weekend. It was really fun to see. The Hornets were doing Hornet things. Vance Hayward back in victory lane for the first time in 6 years. It was really neat to see. And
he dominated.
He did. He was fast.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Voss pretty much wrapped up the championship there. So he'll add another Hornet championship to his long list of titles.
I had the number earlier.
Yeah, it's downstairs in the notes. But he's got a handful of them, which is fun to see because he's earned it this year.
He's 100% he has.
Star of the show, Mike Guffey finished third. And Mike's been super fast all year long in the 007 car. Tazio Andreasen, he's been fun this year. He's improved a lot from last year to this year. He came home fourth, and Dave Hill rounded out the top five. The Hornets, they put on some shows this year, and I'm excited to see them in their season. We've got some good points battles within the Hornets, though, so the championship is locked up. But
yeah, for the most part. Yeah.
Deeper through the field, Eric, we've got some good points battles.
The Hornets have just been fun all year, like you said. So I think we'll see a little bit of movement deeper in the points for sure. But, yeah, like you said, the top's so locked up. But I think one of the really good points battles we're going to see this weekend is the 410s. I mean, you look at last weekend, it was a 5-point lead for Jason Solwald over Trey Starks after the high limit weekend. That swing change. And now Trey Starks back to the top again. He's got a 13-point lead over Jason Solwald and looks to pick up what would be his third, I believe, 410 track championship.
Yeah, and the Hornets, you look, 9 points separating 6th, 7th, and 8th. So we'll have some points battles to separate there. 4th and 5th only separated by 2 points. So lots still up in the air well within the top 10. 11th and 10th only separated by a pair, or really – you look at 12th to 10th, separated by 4 points, and you got to finish in the top 10 to land in the money. So some good points battles there inside the Hornets that we're going to be watching closely this Saturday night. But as you mentioned this past weekend, Eric, the Hornets, man, neat to see
the Hornets, yes.
Vance Hibbert back in victory lane, first time since 2019, and he had some speed, and he's won a lot of races here at Skagit through the years, and he certainly had to earn that one. And in the IMCA Modified, Rory Smith just dominated, flat out dominated.
I mean, that Hornets dominated, modifies Rory Smith dominated. It was really good racing behind him, but kind of like the Hornets, he just checked out. Rory ran a really good, a consistent race, and I think that's exactly what you want leading into season championship, but also these guys are still getting ready for Survive the 55. You know, it's putting laps on the track, it's getting laps in under your belt, and yeah, he was really impressive to watch. And like I said, really good battling behind, I believe.
Zane Minor and James Bundy.
Zane Minor came from
second.
Like, what, 17th? Let's go look at that quickly. 10th to 2 run for Zane Minor. Like,
yeah, so I mean, Zane Minor's been quick, and that's a guy wanting to get laps for Survive the 55. He runs a lot down at Grays Harbor on Saturday nights. We hadn't seen him a ton this year, but it was great to have him here. And Adam Holtrup, another good top five run for him. He came home fourth, and Jeff Westgaard doing what Jeff Westgaard does, battled back into the top five, got in a deal that wasn't his fault early in the race, had to go to the tail on a yellow, and
I didn't actually realize he got that back up to top five.
Stormed back into the fifth. Yeah, so Jeff doing what Jeff does.
Well, and you mentioned Adam Holtrup. He actually ran double duty in a Hornet for the 10K of Braxton Hausman.
Because Braxton got married, so congratulations to Braxton Hausman. He got married on Saturday, and Adam Holtrup popped in the old Del Sol and did double duty in the 410s. Man, certainly, first off, thinking of Cam Smith, who got injured in a crash with a lap and a half to go. So hopefully we see Cam back in the car next year. He's got all winter to recover up. Broke his T4, I saw he posted on social media. But thinking of Cam, Cam's been a staple at Skagit Speedway for a long time, dating back into the late 2000s, run here weekly, whether 410 or 360. So hopefully Cam's all right. But before that, we were looking at arguably the race of the year between Colton Heath, Trey Starks, and Jesse Schlotfeldt having a war inside the top three. I mean, right before that crash happened, off of turn two, you could have thrown a blanket over the top
100%. three. 100%. They were almost three wide going down the back straightaway. And I really hope Cam, it's a scary thing to see, but if that didn't happen,
it's going
to
be good.
That would have been really good.
And nothing Cam could do there.
No, not at all.
But, like I said, we're certainly thinking of him. Hopefully we see Cam back in a race car next year. He, as I said, just an absolute Skagit staple, over 100, 360 sprint car A-main starts here, and climbing the 410 sprint car A-main starts as well. Colton Heath picks up another win. Leah Brown, the car owner. Big Mike wasn't here this weekend, unfortunately, but how cool to see Big Mike and Leah get another win here. I mean, as car owners, that's really neat to see. They ran on the podium with High Limit with Colton and now picked up, I believe that's his second win this year, his ninth of his 410 career. Trey Stark second, Jesse Schlotfeldt third. Jesse's been super fast. And Jesse's a guy that, if you have a Flow Racing account, you're going to be able to watch him a lot this fall, because he's going to go down and run quite a few of the NARC shows, from what I understand, to finish out the season down south. And Robbie Price was fourth, Justin Youngquist fifth, and Justin monster trucked that right front. I can't believe nothing broke on the 95,
because
I thought it was like, oh, man, Justin's going to have a top five, and then nothing, hit his tire that went flying off a car.
It came from Smith's car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it hit a couple of the cars. I know it got Robbie pretty good and didn't hear it. And Trey Starks also as well.
Yeah, I didn't know it got Trey. I didn't know that until today. Yeah.
But, Colin Mackey, your good friend, another top 10 for Colin. I can't remember who I was talking this week. I feel like Colin in the 410 is the best I've seen him at Skagit.
I agree. 100% I agree.
He has been competitive. Obviously, his first night in the car led 28 laps, but he and Jason Solwald put on a great show. Jason got sixth. So the points for the 410s, you had mentioned it just a bit ago, Eric. That's really where things are getting tight, is the points in the 410s are nice and close, just 13 points. And that was an 18-point swing for Trey, because you mentioned he was five back. Now he's 13 ahead. The battle for third's a close one, just 17 points separating Robbie Price and Jesse Schlotfeldt. Justin Youngquist hanging on to that fifth spot right now. He's pretty much got fifth locked up. He's rough math, 72 points ahead. So, yeah, he's got fifth locked up. But 29 points separating Eric Fisher and Levi Klatt. Chase Getz right there, and Cam Smith ninth in points. Colton Heath is 10th. Colton missed a handful of nights. There's some decent points battles to watch in there, and the IMCA modified's pretty much wrapped up.
As long as Jeff Westgaard
just had, he He just has to finish inside the top 10, pretty much.
So, in my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, if Westergaard, so if Holtrup finishes 11 spots better than Westergaard, would be the only way that would change, correct?
Because no, he'd have to finish 12 better finish because 12 better. His okay. wins are the tiebreaker.
Okay.
And Westergaard has the wins. So, okay. pretty much, Holtrup has to beat Jeff Westergaard by 12 spots.
Okay.
Because IMCA points work 40 for the win, 39 for second, 38 for third, no points for heat races, only in the A main, 1 point per spot. So, Jeff Westergaard, just if he finishes inside the top 12, or inside the top 11, I should say, inside the top 11, he'll lock up the championship. James Bundy's 8 markers behind Adam, 19 back in third. Cole Logan is 8 points back of Bundy. And Rory Smith is just 9 points back of him. And Ben Gunderson, Rory Smith, only 3 points separating them. So could be something to keep an eye on inside the top 5 right there. And I expect we'll have a decent modified car count this week.
I really
because
do too.
It's a complete night and a week out from Survive the 55. So I got to think that we'll get a handful
Grace
of cars from down south because Grace Harbor's
too.
Done.
Yeah.
So that'll be certainly interesting to watch. And how things are going to break down this weekend is the 360s, Hornets, and Midgets will go on Friday. And then the Midgets, Shane Smith trying to
so
lock up that
much,
championship.
Yeah, I think he's pretty much
yeah,
got that 31
ahead,
up, 31
so.
Ryan Orchard.
He's in pretty decent shape there. Good battle, only 14 points separating Chad Kincaid and Nick Evans. And Nick Evans, as I'm going through and getting the results added onto the website, it's neat to see Nick Evans pop up in 360 and 410 stuff. Brad Pritchard also drove a 410 back in the 2000s.
He did.
I did not know that. That was something I've learned.
He did that, and then when I went and did the interview with him.
Yep.
He and I wish I had got into it more because I didn't know until after that. I believe he did some even manufacturing of different parts and stuff like that. So
also something to keep an eye on in the midget points. Top 10, that's where the money lands.
Yep.
Just 2 points separating 10th and 11th with Steven Massengill and Kyle Hansen.
Really,
6 points separating 10th to 12th. So close there. Cookie Carlson, she's just 8 points ahead of. So really 9th to 12th. 14 points separating 9th to 12th. So there could be a shakeup inside the top 10 in points in the midgets. Everything else kind of not set in stone, but more than 10 points separating spots pretty much everywhere else. So we'll keep an eye on the midget points. Saturday, we've got the 410s. We talked about the 410 points already. The Sportsman Sprints. The Sportsman Sprints is the battle to keep an eye on. We have Steven Hendrickson on. You'll hear him in just a bit, but Steven, he's right in the thick of things of a championship hunt there. Just 3 points behind Jaden Whitney. Justin Jacobson's only 15 points back, so 15 points separating first to third. And ironically, Steven Hendrickson sitting in second. Of those three drivers, he's the only one that hasn't led the points yet this year. Hey, Jaden and Justin have swapped that points lead quite a bit. Macy Logsdon and Kara Zylstra, they're only 11 points apart from each other for fourth and fifth. But the thing to keep an eye on, and you can have it on your
points,
laptop,
yep,
is owner points.
So
and the
I wrote
owner
about
points
it in here.
Is,
I'll go pull it up too.
I think it's
there's a 10-point gap between 15th and owner points, which is this is 410 sprint cars. Hold on. There's a 10-point gap in owner points between Dustin Gehring
and 15th,
and then getting up to Tony Bundy, who's technically in that 12th and final spot.
So, and to keep in mind, the 12. Is
top 12
why
and
we're
owner
talking
points
because
at the end of the year.
That's where the we've got four Sportsman Sprint engines that we're going
to
raffle off
Died
or draw
$20,000. Yeah,
and you got to be in the top 12. So if you got a 1 in 3 chance at getting a sporty motor if you're inside the top 12 in points in the Sportsman Sprints this year. So that's why we're talking top 12. We'll talk top 10 and everything else because that's where the money lands. But top 12 in the sporties, which is super cool. And I had lunch with one of the voices, the voice of Skagit Speedway, I guess I should say. I mean, he's been here forever, Caleb Hart. And I had lunch with him on Sunday. And several teams jumping up from Deming to the Sporties next year. So that's
exciting.
And then we had Steven Hendrickson on today. You'll hear him talk about what his plans are moving forward. But we're going to have several guys moving out of the Sporties. So there's going to be a transition, which is
That's exactly what we want.
Exactly. That's exactly what we want at Skagit Speedway. We want the Sportsman Sprints to be the entry level. Come in, get your feet wet. Or if you're, you know, ending a career, also a great spot to end a career. I mean, I saw that at Knoxville a lot through the years with the 305s or the Pro Sprints now is what they're called. It's a great breeding ground of guys wanting to slow their career down but still race a little bit, or guys getting new, and that provides a great opportunity to learn, and that's what the Sporties have done. We've had phenomenal racing. I'll put our Sporty racing up against anything this year. I mean, it's been a blast night in and night out.
And, you know, one of the things I think has been really nice, too, is you talk about drivers going from Deming here to Skagit. That's something that has always been there, but I feel like now it's come back again really strong.
Yeah.
It's that pipeline
super
of
strong.
You race, you know, quarter midgets. Honestly, though, you could kind of skip quarter midgets and go right to juniors at Deming, but you could race a quarter midget to race a junior, run all the way through Deming, and then there's that path to come to Skagit Speedway, and you can keep building into that sporting. That's exactly what it is, and it's really fun to see drivers who have success at Deming Speedway. Jesse Schlontfeldt, former Deming Speedway. Colby Thornhill, Colin Mackey, Macy Logston in a sporty, Jessen Jacobson, Jaden Whitney, Kira Zylstra. I mean, it just goes on and on about drivers that have raced at Deming and now are having success here at Skagit Speedway.
Yeah, we've had really, really great success building that program and working with Deming, and it's neat to see. And we also see a lot of guys go back and run at Deming quite a bit. I mean, that's the neat thing about going to Deming on Friday nights. We really encourage you to do that, especially if you're coming for a Saturday night show here at Skagit Speedway and looking for something to do on Friday nights. Go up the road to Deming and see not only the stars of Skagit, but the future stars of Skagit Speedway, because a lot of them are up there, which is neat to see. But it's been a fun year. We've only got two weekends left, and we're going to finish the season out with an exclamation point. And
yeah.
The sportsman sprints right now are the star of the show when it comes to the points battle from top to bottom throughout the field.
Well, with that, it's episode 13, and unintentionally,
yeah,
it works out really well. Blake, unless you've got anything else to add.
Nope, all good.
Let's go and chat with the driver of the 13. Stephen Hendrickson joins us today on On the Gas, presented by Skagit Speedway. Well, welcome in our special guest, Stephen Hendrickson, driver of a sports sprint car here at Skagit Speedway. Stephen, thanks so much for joining us on the gas today. We appreciate it. So, how are you today? How's it going? And what you kind of been up to?
I'm doing great. I started my morning off with getting a three-year-old and a five-year-old ready for their school day. Got them all loaded up, and it's been a challenge this year. I dropped my five-year-old off at Bow for kindergarten, and then the start times are the same between there and the preschool. So then I bomb it as quick as I can to Mount Vernon without getting my first speeding ticket, and drop her off a little late. And then after that, we just got a new puppy, so I took him for a walk and made some mini tacos for breakfast, I guess.
There you go.
And then now here we are.
So you don't have a speeding ticket?
No, I've never gotten a speeding ticket.
Wow, yeah.
I can't say the same.
Neither can I.
Yeah. That's why my dad bought me a race car when I was a kid. He told me, you know, we do the rules on the road. And
I made it a while without my first speeding ticket. I've only got a couple, so.
Yeah, I've got one.
Bad. Yeah, I've got a few.
Anyway, what a successful season it's been for you in the sports sprint car. How has that adjustment been this year coming as Skagit?
It's been great. We started off a little slow. I mean, it's a huge difference between what I'm used to at Deming, the tracks. You know, sometimes I've heard people use the comparison of going from Deming to Skagit. You feel like you're on the freeway here because it's so much wider, and it's true. You know, like running a 1200 there's really not a lot of room to pass. And here, you know, at times it looks like there's tons of room, but we're all in the same tight racing groove and kind of fighting to stay in it. And, you know, just little stuff. Like my first night here, I didn't know where to, you know, pill draw. I've never once had to take a transponder up to a blockhouse, you know? So I felt like a rookie, but every week we've gotten better and better with everything. And, you know, at this point, like I had a wedding last week, and I don't think I've ever gotten more compliments on a racing season in my entire life.
Wow. That's really cool.
How did it come about to getting behind the wheel of Jeff's car and getting in a sportsman sprint?
It's kind of a long story, but I guess you could say it all started on a flight from Vancouver to New Zealand. I've always known of Jeff, but, you know, like you just kind of pass by different people in the pit area, maybe say hi, but don't really sit and chat too long. But we sat next to each other for, you know, a 14-hour flight. And
wow.
I downloaded a bunch of stuff on my iPad, and so did he. And as it would turn out, we both downloaded basically Bert Kreischer's entire career. And so me and him got to be buddies there. And then we bunked together for multiple nights at this Airbnb and slept on twin beds. Not together, but opposite sides of the room. And we just kind of talked a lot about racing, and it came up one day when we were sitting at this rooftop bar of, you know, have you ever thought about going to Skagit? And, you know, growing up, this is where I came to watch racing as a kid, and it was always a dream of mine. And fast forward, you know, a year plus, and, you know, in February, I just got this text message, and it said, how do you feel about running a sporty this year? And we had just rebuilt my 1200 and kind of, you know, prepping the family car to go race back at Deming. And me and my dad weren't that excited about it. I mean, we'd done the same thing for, you know, 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, before I even responded to his text, I talked to my wife, I called my dad, and everybody's super excited about it. And the rest is history.
What took you guys to New Zealand together?
So was it intentionally together?
Yeah. Well, that's another thing. Like, Luke Didiot called me, I think it was like June or July, and he said, hey, like, how do you feel about going to New Zealand and racing mini sprints? And so we all piled down. Okay. It was like Sherry Mayville went with us, yep. Ashley Llewellyn, Luke, Lisa, Chantel, Red. And when we took off for that trip, I didn't know who I was racing for. I didn't know where I was staying. All I knew is we were going to New Zealand, and I, you know, tried to look up as much as I could on my phone, and we landed, and this large group of people picked us up and took us in like family. It was completely unbelievable, and it was kind of like, I don't know, the next chapter in my racing career.
So did you just bring your gear bag and just go, well, I'm sure I'll have a ride at some point?
Or like, well, I knew I had a ride. Okay. I just didn't know what it was. So as soon as we landed, we went to this, like, it was, I guess you could call it like a big shop party. And there was like four cars sitting there, and even Red was racing. And, yeah, Luke got in with, Eulenberg's. I raced for a guy, Bob Smith. Jeff ran a car for, the Hoogees family. I probably, okay, butchered that, and Ashley got a ride for a couple days as well. So it was a pretty sweet deal. And like at first we were all scared, but after like day two, you know, everything felt natural, and it was a life changing experience.
What's the mini sprint scene like in New Zealand? Sorry, we'll get back to Skagit here in a minute, but I'm kind of curious about this.
The best thing I could compare it to is like a Ford Focus with a wing. They're not chain driven. They run like these Toyota engines.
So they're not like Deming.
No. It felt like a restricted 1200 that you would race at Deming. And, you know, they were racy, but like you had to try to spin the tires, you know, and, but it made it difficult. And like their format, everything, like it was like walking into a new world, you know, like really? They check your gear every week. Or every night, even. Like, if we had a two-day show, they would check everything. I mean, I got breathalyzed for the first time in my life as well there.
Interesting. I mean, I've heard Wade talk about how much Australian sprint car racing is different, so I'm not... That surprised me. I guess I'm not overly surprised that New Zealand's a similar style with that, I guess.
Yeah, the other thing that I thought was kind of strange was I've had the same Hans device for probably 8 years, yeah, and I've never once had anybody check it here. And when I got there, they said it was out of certification. And so I had to race the next day. And this guy, Brad McDonald, had one. And he actually lived on Vancouver Island. So the Hans device that I borrowed was like covered in Nirvana stickers. And
fit right in.
Yeah. So he let me borrow that the whole time. But like, I couldn't believe the amount of safety rules. But also, we're running like pump gas and we didn't have a bladder in our fuel cell.
Weird.
Yeah. It's a different world over there. You know, Australia, it's a lot, and New Zealand's very similar. Guideline driven, you know, even to the racetracks, the safety standards the racetracks have to meet. I mean, if you're over here, we'd have 10 dirt tracks over here that would meet the safety standards that they have overseas.
Did they require a license in New Zealand? Because I think that's a thing in Australia, right? Yep. You have to have a...
New Zealand does two for sprint cars, at least.
I think they
did. I don't know about
mini
sprints, but sprint cars and midgets they do, because Tony Stewart gave me his New Zealand license the last time he came over. And so I have his New Zealand sprint car license.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Did you have to get one?
I was never given a license, but I think there was like an exemption. It was, they played it up and kind of promoted it. It was like a Can-Am series deal. And like it had its own separate points. And
What part of New Zealand were you in? Where did you spend the most time?
We were on the North Island.
Okay.
And we're basically centered around like New Plymouth, Stratford area. So I guess that'd be like the southwest side of the island.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what an experience. I mean, that's something you get to remember the rest of your life. Is it something you think you'll be able to do again or hope to do again?
I would love to. There's people there that, you know, say it's open invitation. Just let us know when you want to come back. And like I said, like, to me, they're like family friends. Mm-hmm. I still communicate. They're kind of my biggest fans here too.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome. Like,
do they watch the YouTube stream?
Absolutely.
There we go.
Yeah.
We do have quite a few New Zealanders that watch. I mean, there's probably
for Steven,
8 to 10 of them. Yeah. That I feel like a lot of them are tied in with Red, you and Luke. Luke has a lot of fans down there.
Yeah. I mean, and it works out perfect for him because it's what, like 4 hours difference, but it's a day ahead. So it'd be like their Sunday mid afternoon and it's their winter time. They don't have, you know, too much to do, I would think. I mean,
we had a group of them come over for the High Limit race.
Yeah, we did.
There's like 6 or 8 of them that came over. I wasn't sure if they were tied in with you guys at all.
Yeah, actually. So Jono and Julie, they were the ones that picked me up from the airport.
Oh, nice.
They came here. I think it was like their honeymoon.
Yeah, yep. I thought someone was honeymooning.
Yep. And they actually picked me up from the airport and I stayed my first like 4 days.
Oh,
that's
great.
A sweet like spare room set up for me and they were awesome. And yeah, I thought it was great that they decided to come visit us here.
What'd they think of the trip?
They loved it.
Yeah.
They loved it. They're actually still here. I think they fly out. They're flying out today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
may have ran into one of them in the grandstands just in passing. That's cool. So kind of back to your career, how did you get started in racing?
Well, I mean, I think the first step is I grew up as an only child. So, I mean, that kind of helps have your parents pay for it. And, my dad, he always, you know, wanted to be a race car driver. He grew up, helping Alan Raper on his car.
Okay.
And I think he was like a tech guy for a while here. And he got me a quarter midget when I was like 4 and a half. I remember Mark Hewson was quite involved in it and, you know, on what to get and where to go. And we started right at the quarter midget track right below us here. And yeah, the rest is kind of history. I do also believe I might have been the first one to ever tip a car over there.
Really? Claim to fame.
Can you elaborate on that more?
I have a rollover trophy from like 1998, or 1999.
All right.
It's still hung up in my parents' house. So,
The transition to sporties, what did you guys find here in this year that just clicked? Because I feel like we got 4 or 5 races in, and it was like the light bulb came on for you. And right now I feel like you're probably one of the fastest cars on the racetrack. Is there something you guys found in the car, or is it just more so they got you more comfortable?
A little bit of both, I guess. Like the first night, I will say the car was probably great. I just made some driver errors. I tried too hard to pedal the gas and stay in the moisture. And I think we still finished 4th, but you know, when I got out, I kind of knew that it was more on me and not the car. It still had more to go. And then, like that race when you guys thought something was broken in my rear end.
Oh, yep.
Nothing was broken. It's just Red had the car set up tight. Like it was great in clean air. And it was kind of falling over on the right front a little bit.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
We had a bad bar, I think, at the same time. And so we kind of just worked on that through the week and watched your guys' videos to see, which that's pretty helpful. Nice tool, you know?
Yeah.
And kind of just made a few adjustments. I don't tell Red what to do. And Red will, like, you know, tell me, like, hey, guys are running here, guys are running there. But he doesn't really tell me what to do either. So I just give him good feedback. And every single week, the car's gotten better.
Wow.
That's
and,
awesome.
And, you know, even if the car's great, he wants me to complain somewhere. So,
yeah, it's been neat to see, because I'll be honest, like that, it wasn't something I even really had on my radar.
No.
And then here we are, we're, you know, 1 week to get one race to go, and you're right in the thick of a championship, which is just crazy to think about.
So I think the most important and impressive thing of that, too, is in one less feature race, you're only, what, 3 points behind?
3 points behind, yeah.
How much fun has that kind of been to work your way up and put yourself in this position?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, I've never really been a points chaser. Like, to be honest, I can't even tell you guys your points format here. You know,
hey, that's
I check
good.
It. Yeah, I check it. You know, I'll look at it. Most of the time, somebody else does that for me. But I think it's just one of those, like, when we blew up the motor on night two, Red was helping Luke. I think they were at Cottage Grove.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another motor at the shop, and all of us guys just kind of made the decision. It's like, yeah, we could go get it, but we're going to, you know, be at the back of the A main. Mm-hmm. It's our second night. I didn't really light the world on fire on night one. It's probably not worth tearing a car up. So we just parked it and decided after that that kind of points were over. And then now to fast forward to now, it's like, man, maybe we should have made that trip and just picked a few up. But it makes it interesting, and I think it makes it more fun going into the last night, you know, kind of,
yeah,
what, 3 points back. So
yeah. Something like that. Do you feel any more pressure with it?
Not really. No. I mean, why would we do anything different,
yeah,
you know, than mm-hmm. we always have? We're rolling good. And I think when you put pressure on yourself, you're changing something. So why would we change anything that we're already doing? Obviously what we have, it's working. And, you know, I mean, it's a complete night, I think, mm-hmm. for
yeah.
the format.
Yeah, yep.
And so, you know, there's plenty of times during the night to make or lose points, but you know, why keep changing variables? So just go into it the same as we have.
You mentioned earlier in the interview, before this ride kind of came together, you and your dad were putting the 1200 together and maybe not really looking forward to it. Is that spark back now, kind of that enjoyment of racing and looking forward to racing again now in the sporty?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no. And like, I love Deming Speedway. Mm-hmm. Like I love it forever. You know, I've been
yeah,
there
since
I was a kid, but at the same time, you know, it's like Groundhog's Day after a quarter of a century. And mm-hmm. yeah. so it was just time for a change, and this was a good change. And, you know, I still have my guys involved, and as well as Reds. And I think everybody just meshed together so great, and it's been so much fun. And that's the main thing, is it has to be fun. Otherwise people lose interest, or, you know, if you don't want to be somewhere, you're not going to give it your all. So yeah. I think we all mm-hmm. really, truly want to be here and want to win. And it's been, I think, my most fun I've ever had in a complete racing season.
It's awesome.
Did you ever see yourself making the transition to Skagit, or do you think you would always kind of be at Deming until this year?
When I was younger, I did, but like opportunities never really arose. And then, you know, as I got older, I had a, you know, a family, kids, work, you know, mm-hmm. things get in the way. And I kind of figured, that's probably not going to happen anymore, but that's fine. You know, I can still run Deming and do, you know, however many races I want to do there. And then when this came up, it was like a rebirth almost to a degree. So
have you guys talked about next year much at all yet?
Yeah. Yeah. The plan is to go 360 racing.
That's awesome.
We put it that car together that like Tyler's driven.
Yep.
And that's a completely different car than okay. what we've been running in the sporty class. We tossed that together in like a week
was
before
that the
360 show.
I say, was that the one you ran at 360 Nationals then?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So I think it was July 4th. Red called me and said, hey, how do you feel about the 360 Nationals? And, you know, while I didn't think maybe that was the best time for me to make my debut, I wasn't going to turn it down. And yeah. I figured, we'll see what we can do. Yeah, we can see what we can do. And then finding a motor kind of fell apart. And then he found one with like 6 or 7 days to go, but he had like a trip planned with his family. And so, yeah, I think that car probably got to put together in like 4 or 5 days. I mean, it was a full
overnight.
Team. Yeah, it was a full team effort. But we made it happen, and that car is fast. You know, like, I mean, I was able to scratch my way into the A main, and, you know, and then to watch Tyler hop in it for the High Limit show and do what he did, it, you know, it just kind of proves the point of it's not, you know, it's nothing necessarily that I ever did. It, you know, it's Red and the car he built. And, you know, you put a guy that can drive behind the seat and anything's possible.
I think that's what the world is kind of seeing. Obviously, mm-hmm. we're getting to see your talent this year, but I think I talked to Red and on the podium at High Limit, and he's like, I knew I could do this. I knew I could do it. And I said, you guys have been showing it all year. I mean, you look where Steven was from night one to where you guys are right now. You're, as Eric said, one feature short in yeah. contending for a championship. Yeah. I mean, you're running with a hand tied behind your back and doing pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's been magical. Like to me, like I said, like it's pretty crazy when sitting in February, I'm thinking, okay, 3 months, maybe I'll show up at Deming the end of April, May, get a few shows in, run Clay Cup, because that's always just been the focus mm-hmm. there, to just, well, we're no longer worrying about that. We're going to do the 10 races here
yeah.
and, originally I was going to try to sprinkle some mini sprint stuff in, but I just didn't really want to go back because I didn't want to lose what I had learned transitioning to mm-hmm. this. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's like you hear that some guys don't want to go back because habits, you know, maybe they go back on a bad habit. That it's kind of that 360 to 410 deal where you hear guys talk about the 410 drivers. They don't want to go into a 360 too much because they might go back on some bad habits that they developed in a 360 that kind of things they leaned on that in a 410 you can't lean on. That might, you know, similar case there, sporty to a 1200.
Totally. Before Tyler came about, it was talked about, you know, to run like the sporty and the 360 on the same night. And I kind of wasn't going to tell Red what decision to make, but like, I'm no Kyle Larson. Like, you know, I can't run.
But shoot.
You know, and I've never been in that position before either, mm-hmm. you know. So it's almost one of those. Why don't we just focus on what we started with and then we'll, you know, try to get as many 360 shows in before next year and then run next year.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
I think there's going to be some changeover going into next year. You know, I think that several of the guys you included at the top of the sporties are going to be jumping up, which is great. That's what we want. The ladder system's working, and it's neat to see that we're probably going to have a 360 driver that 8-9 months ago wasn't even planning on running a sprint car, and now he's pounding on the door of a championship and looking at a 360 next year. That's a really neat story that I don't mm-hmm. think that it's exciting that a lot of our listeners are going to get to hear
yeah.
and find out on the podcast.
Yeah. Actually, I talked to Red a few days ago and like told him like I thought I was going to be, you know, just going camping with my family and going fishing a bunch this summer. And, you know, we're getting to the tail end and here I am getting all these compliments on what a season we've had racing. And, you know, he kind of said something similar, like, you know, he was kind of doubting what he was capable of doing as well. And, you know, it's pretty neat. And the fact that we're both trying our hardest, you know, like I race harder, I think for him than I would my dad, as terrible as that sounds. You know, I disappointed my father my whole life, you know, like I can't disappoint Red. He wears cowboy boots. I don't need those up my butt.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. It's been neat to see because mm-hmm. you have had just a fantastic season that, like I said earlier, just wasn't even on the radar for me to think about is what, you know, is Stephen Hendrickson going to lead Sportsman Sprint points potentially and lead the division in wins? Well, here we are leading division in wins and 3 points out of a championship. It's kind of one of those magical stories that you hear about every once in a while, and you certainly are at the forefront of that story right now.
I feel like we've had a lot of different Deming drivers on, and they've kind of talked about how Deming has taught them a driving style, and they've almost felt like that's helped them when they've came to Skagit Speedway, because, you know, Deming's tighter, and you really have to have that car control compared to where you come to Skagit. It's tight, but there's more room. Do you kind of feel the same, like some of what your driving style you learned at Deming has helped here at Skagit?
Yeah.
If that makes sense?
No, it does. It totally does. It's really kind of, in a way, hard to talk about, you know, like Deming to me, when I raced there, I didn't know any different and it seemed like there was tons of room, but then mm-hmm. you'd have guys travel there from California and, you know, I could tell you firsthand, you could show them a nose and they would get off the gas and kind of let you go. Where here, you know, like there is more room, but also you're only racing on probably 30-40% of the yeah. surface. Once you get out of that, you know, you're in dustier material and mm-hmm. and you're gonna go backwards. So like that to me, like staying in the groove, staying on the gas, keeping your momentum up, it's different. I think for me the biggest thing that helps me is it helps me in traffic.
Okay,
that's it. I mean, traffic here is yeah. is big. We see traffic, and I feel like Eric and I are up at Deming almost every Friday night, and I love watching the 600s and 1200s when they get to traffic. That's when, to me, that's when sprint car racing, wing racing shines mm-hmm. as traffic. Johnny Gibson told me that one time, and I completely agree. Like, wing racing shines when we get into lap traffic. That's when you start to sort things out, and you see, you know, who the sharks are and who the minnows are when you get into traffic.
Yeah, and, you know, like, for me, another thing that's different about here and there is I could never qualify at Deming. I set 3 quick times my entire racing career.
And you've done that this year.
I think I beat that. Yeah, yeah. I think it's like 4, maybe 5, maybe 3. Yeah. And I didn't know if that was Red setting the car up or if that was me or the track or something, but you know, it definitely helps here qualifying, especially given the format, mm-hmm. you know, where I found myself at Deming qualifying 5th, 6th, 7th, and then that'd put you on the front row of a heat or, you know, third row or second row inside. And you got to pass cars in order to put yourself in a good position mm-hmm. for, you know, the main. And then there's an invert and you never know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, where you have to get good at passing cars on that tight little track. And it, to me, passing fast guys, it's different than passing lap cars. You're going to race them different. They have better speed. And yeah, it's a lot different racing here.
What was the biggest adjustment jumping up to the 360 from the Sporty? Was it the speed, or was there something out there we're not thinking of?
No, the speed. Like I said, I always wanted to race a 360 or a 410 here. And when I mashed on the gas in hot laps, I experienced what I thought a 410 would feel like. You know, like you get on the gas and it's like you're teleporting down the straightaway.
Really?
And, it really slowed things down for the Sporty. But at the same time, you know, you when you're going down the straightaway, you're positioning yourself to enter how you want in the corner mm-hmm. and you're getting there a lot quicker. And there was times when I was running that 360 that I was, you know, half a car length or a full car length one way or the other that I truly wanted to be, you know? And so car control is going to be hard. And that's something, you know, that has always been important to me racing at Deming. Because you have to have it there. And I mean, you got to have it anywhere. But that was the biggest thing, is like sometimes I felt like the car was driving me. And so it's going to take a little bit of getting used to. And, you know, I don't want to make any enemies out there either. Like a lot of these guys are my friends too that I'm racing against. But, you know, we're all here to race. And so I have a big learning curve ahead of me.
Well, if you adjust to 360, anything like the Sporty, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
You ran fine for the two nights at 360 Nationals and made the main.
Yeah.
Not saying, that was, you know, it's...
That was impressive.
Said and done, but...
No, and totally, and thank you, but yeah. At the same time, I'll tell you firsthand, there was times where I wasn't where I wanted to be on the track, okay. You know, and to me, that's kind of scary, you know?
What do you mean by that? Like, lane-wise, you didn't... Or?
Lane-wise, yeah, you know, like, I mean, I guess I don't want to enter too high, get caught in some marbles and just wad up a car because I'm by myself and don't know where I'm at, you know. But at the same time, like, I know I'm going to get better every lap, and getting to run, what was that, 30 or 40 laps in that A main? Granted, I got
40.
Lapped. 40.
I believe it was 40.
After I got
could
lapped.
Could be wrong, though.
30 or 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was basically just a hot lap session for me in that main. Yeah. Actually, I turned the fuel valve the wrong way on the start because it was different between the 360 and the Sporty. Yep. So I went like,
make it really rich.
I killed it completely. Oh. So, I went from 17th to dead last, and then within like 2.5-3 laps, Trey lapped me, and I'm like, oh, okay, well.
What's wrong here?
Now I just get laps in and... And
good learning.
Was that kind of nice to follow and learn from Trey though? A little bit?
Yeah, but I mean, I can't follow Trey. Like my thing was just stay out of the way. Those guys were running the top, so I just practiced rolling the bottom. And the last thing I wanted to do was ruin anybody's race night. So,
but I mean, rolling the bottom's been pretty good to Jason Solhaut here through the years. So I think that's a good thing. I've always heard. I guess we'll ask you, what's harder? I mean, I've always heard that rolling the bottom and good on the bottom, especially I'm coming from Knoxville, like. That's where you separated yourself was, could you roll the bottom? Because a lot of drivers can bang the boards, but if you can hit the bottom really good, you're going to win races. Is what's been tougher, learning to roll the bottom here or ripping the fence?
I'm going to change my answer up a little bit here. Only because like at Deming, I was known for just banging boards constantly. And a lot of people said, oh, Steven can't run the bottom. And over time I could there. But then coming here, you know, I almost think rolling the bottom's easier for me because there's really not a huge cushion on the wall. And to me, that's like my safety net. You know, you just hammer down and point the car away from it. also, I'm not going to lie, like, we're doing, what, 30, 40, 50 miles an hour or more here? Like, I'm getting older. I got kids. I got to make it to work. Like, I don't need to have the same learning curve I had at Deming when I was 18 years old. You know, I tore up a lot of stuff. I got things I got to do after I race.
It hurts more.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
Eric's still young.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand.
Not yet.
It hurts more when you do dumb things in your 30s that you could do in your 20s.
Oh, it does. I remember destroying race cars when I was like 16, and I'd hop out of, I'd destroy one in the heat race, and we would thrash, and I'd be helping, and then hop in and go race a main. And anymore, it's like, God, I destroy a race car. That's,
I just need a week to recover.
Yeah, I just want to go ice myself with a beer and sit down and lick my wounds. So.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I feel like for the longest time at Deming, I always remember with a yellow 1200. Was there a reason you went with yellow?
Yeah, actually. So when it all started, the yellow 13, that's what Alan Raper raced, and he was helping us a lot. It was him and Gene Kwans. Gene raced a late model here for years and years ago. Okay. And they were my dad's buddies. And so when my dad put my first car together, it was a yellow and blue 13. And we did that for a long time, and as I grew up, I'm like, Dad, I hate this yellow race car. Like, let's go black, you know? And we did that for a while, and it kind of got to a point where when my dad got done working in Alaska, as like a tribute to him, we went back to the yellow, and that's when I decided I loved yellow, you know? And so it's kind of funny, like, now being in a black 13, like...
So you want to go yellow next
year? We're going
year
full circle. I don't think Red's going to allow it. I don't even think he likes the yellow steering wheel tape I put on his car, if we're being honest. But really? That's what I have in my race bag. So
that's what you put on, then.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. I'd say the nice thing is you wanted black while you were with Red, and I can tell you odds are that car's probably going to be black.
Yeah. It's whatever those guys decide. Yeah. I mean,
it doesn't make it any faster or slower, right?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Did you get a say on number for 13, or is Red...
Just kind of worked out. Well, how it all worked out is I went over to a shop. It was like the second or third time that I'd ever gone out there, and we were just tinkering, kind of going through everything. And it was me, Red, and Xander out there. And Red goes, "What number do you want?" And I go, "Whatever you want." You know, it's kind of, to me at the time, it was like kind of a changing of the guard. You know, I'm not in my dad's car no more. And he, come up with a couple different numbers. I think like 99 was one. We decided we can't go 10 and go black and orange 10, but that was one of his old numbers. And later on that night or the following night, he sends me a proof of what the car is going to look like, and it had a 13 on it, and I was in no position to tell him no.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a real comfortable transition as far as looking at the boards.
Yeah. You don't have to look for a new number now.
No.
Nice
no.
and easy.
Nice and consistent.
That's cool. It's been, like I said, it's been so neat to watch your career evolve this year, you know, from running at Deming to running here and contending for a championship. I'm sure that, you know, is a neat, regardless if you win the championship or not, I think you can probably stamp the season with a stamp of excellence and say it was a darn good season.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we kind of already have. And at the same time, I would obviously want to win the championship, but I mean, I'm not going to ruin my winter if I don't,
you know?
So I think what we've achieved is great. We have a great team. Everybody works together great. You know, I mean, I got Wade Kench, who has helped me since I was a kid. I kept my mini sprint at his shop, and back in the day he helped, he did the motors on the Brock Lemley 40 here, and his brother Ryan was my crew chief and like kind of like an older brother to me growing up. And he passed away a few years ago, and I think that's where a lot of my struggles started at Deming, was not having him around.
Okay.
And then so like coming here and not having to worry about a crew chief, because you know, came with Red. It's been great. It's kind of like a meshing of resources, I guess.
It's been nice meshing kind of back with him.
Totally, totally. And having Wade, like I said, Wade, Red, and then, you know, I got Caden, who had his first sprint car race this year. He hadn't come down here once. Xander, and, you know, Xander, he's a 20-year-old kid that likes to give me pre-race pre-race pep talks like you wouldn't believe. Some of them, like 90% of them, I wouldn't be allowed to talk about. He likes to make bets with me. He actually had to shave his head.
Oh, that's great.
During the 360 Nationals. So
what was the bet?
Well, he makes fun of me for being bald.
Okay.
And before the qualifier, he said, if you make it top 20 in the A main, I'll shave my head. And so we started 17th and we all started kind of poking the bear. And then, you know, when I, obviously when I turned the fuel valve off and just went into, you know, hot lap mode after getting lapped, due to attrition, we ended up 19th. So Xander got to give us all a midweek morale booster and, and got to shave his head. So that was awesome.
It's neat to see that, you know, Red didn't, I think, you know, planned on running the sporty this year, and now he's added a 410 into the stable, and next year it sounds like, you know, you guys are going to have a 410 team and a 360 team, which is pretty neat to see how it all evolved from one successful sportsman sprint season to now we've added another 410, which is 410 team, which is ultimately the goal. We want to keep adding 410 teams, and who knows, another year or two we may add two 410 teams. Get another, you have a good year in the 360, that'd be great to see in a 410.
We'll see, because like I said, that 360 felt like what I envisioned the 410. Like sometimes when I'm sitting up there watching, the 410s look like UFOs going around here, you know. Like
hopefully we can get you to find out, you know. Then instead of you saying I think this is what it felt like, well,
yeah,
talk to Red, feel slow.
And and he's probably more on board at this point than I am.
Don't let him hear that part.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he knows. Yeah. We go back. It's pretty transparent. He knows I'm kind of a little bit scared of this 410. But also, after a few 360 races, maybe I'll just get this great big confidence boost and just say, just bolt it in, you know, and go.
Let's let her rip.
I think one of the fun things before we wrap up is we like to ask kind of drivers what you do. Well, I asked you before we started recording what you do, but you said you're a produce manager.
Yeah.
And I find that kind of funny because Blake's got some time in produce. Time in produce. And you're a produce manager.
Where are you produce manager?
The Burlington Freds, just right
down
there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I will say working produce is one of my favorite jobs. I loved working produce. I even at one point tossed around last couple of years, like, do I get a part-time job working at the grocery store just doing produce, you know, 10, 12 hours a week just because I just enjoy working produce. I do the beer here, and it kind of reminds me of working produce, you know, cycling things forward, and I enjoyed it. That's awesome.
Well, I got a spot for you, Blake.
So there we go. I'll come down and work for Steven, get my 12 hours a week. Oh, that'd be fun. I truly enjoyed working produce, and I know Eric did as well.
Yeah,
it was
fun. It was a good time.
What I like is it changes year-round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, it's still grocery work, you know, at the end of the day, but at least it's not putting cans on the shelf, and, you know, like right now I'm fighting – it's still 85 degrees and I have a back room full of pumpkins that they want me to put out. And, you know, it's like a different challenge, and you know, you never know what you're going to get. You're up against Mother Nature, and it's an interesting job that, you know, it's kind of an art form to a degree, I guess, but anymore, like between people not showing up to work and and staff shortages, it's no longer an art form. You're just piling it out. But yeah, it's kind of funny. I never thought I'd be a produce manager when I was 32 years old, but here I am. And what started off as a summer job led me to today.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, like I said, there was a point in time where I honestly had tossed that around of just
I did too a little
had
bit.
Family in the grocery store business back home in Iowa, and it's like, okay, maybe I go down that route and utilize the connections and just work in a grocery store, which I love. I mean, I can just go walk around in a grocery store and I'm happy. Like as you said, every day's different, challenging. You get to work with people.
Yeah. And you don't got to pack a lunch.
That was one of the worst things I remember, because I would go and spend money too easily. Go, I'll just go get this for lunch today.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just go down to the, you know, go down and get a piece of chicken or go down to the deli and eat.
One of the things I remember, I didn't like the wet rack. Do either of you like doing the wet rack?
No, and that's what's great about being manager is
I don't have to do it.
No, I delegate that off. I'd rather do, you know, 2-3 other jobs. And me too.
I
never like. I don't know. I never liked packing. We had to cut some produce up and package it, and I tried to avoid that because wrapping it in the Saran or a Saran wrap machine was like my nemesis. So it's like if I could get away from doing corn. you know, back home in Iowa, we had a lot of sweet corn was big, and you know, the fall was for summer into the early fall was putting six packs of sweet corn on the plastic tray and having to wrap it, and I would end up cussing every time, and I burn myself trying to cut it. I have a little burn mark right there in your finger from cutting it, or, you know, catching it on the. Oh, so I was like, I'll handle the apples and bananas and oranges and all that. You can handle this.
You're not going to have to worry about that working with me, Blake, because about 8 years ago, we just order it.
That's
so much better.
Even better.
I hated it, too. I hated it, too.
We had the things. You had to core the pineapple and cut the pineapple up, and it was just like,
We
had the big machine. You'd come pull it down, and it'd core the pineapple, and then you'd cut it up, and it's like, yeah. But, shoot, I mean, I haven't worked – the last time I worked produce would have been the summer of going into my junior year of college. So that would have been summer 2010. So, I mean, it's been 15 years, but that was a good five-year run of working produce. It was fun. I loved it. Do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Well, we got Blake's winter job all set.
Need a job. So. If I look at Blake, add a couple hours to my table, I'll have to swing down. Yeah, that'd be great. It's a fun job. Produce is fun, and our produce department, small town Iowa, was nice because our manager, assistant manager, leave at 6 o'clock, and it was ours until 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. And he had a good group of us that he trusted, and it's like, just get this done, and we got it done every day. And there was pretty much kind of we had the run of the room for a while.
Heck yeah, that's funny that all three of us have that in common. Yeah. Never would have known.
That's awesome.
Like I don't know. I'm surprised, but. The amount of similarities I find between, you know, racing people and everything else, like racing, hockey, produce now apparently, you know.
Are you a hockey fan?
Hockey was my favorite sport.
Was it? There you go. Because I'm relatively new on the hockey scene, but I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Still like basketball, but.
I can't.
We don't have a hoops team in Seattle, so I've adopted the Kraken.
I could never, like. Make time to join a team, but we would go, my buddy Derek Homewood that races at Deming.
Yeah. He raced here.
Yeah. Me and him and his dad and another buddy of mine, we would get up at like 6 a.m. on Saturday or Sunday mornings and go to drop in at the Sportsplex. And it was so much fun, you know, just
dropping was fun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hockey out here. I mean, you look at like the Silver Tips, and then Abbotsford's got an AHL team just an hour up the road from us, and obviously we have the Kraken, and you've got all the Canadian Hockey League teams.
There's a little bit in Bellingham.
Yeah,
when I played, it was the years below me were great. Trying to find kids my age to play was hard, but
yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. Oh well.
But no, that's cool. Hopefully Saturday night's a good night for you, and I feel like we've got a good group of drivers in that sporty class, so whoever wins the championship is certainly earned it and is going to be a good representation of that class, and hopefully we see you having a strong year next year in the 360. We have you back on after you get a 360 win.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
It'll happen before
great.
We know it.
All right, Steven, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate
thank you.
The conversation.
Thank you, guys. It's been fun.
Welcome back, everybody. A great chat there with Steven Hendrickson as he's chasing that sporty track championship. He's had a very, very strong year, and it was neat to talk with him about that. And cool to hear kind of the plans as he looks to evolve in his sprint car racing career. And I just, as I said several times in the interview, I think it's so neat that that's a kid that, or a guy that really had no plans of running a sprint car. Now he's looking at running a 360 weekly here at Skagit Speedway in 2026, which is really exciting.
No, and you said it so well during the podcast. It's just such a fun story, and it's so fun. I mean, he's competing now for a points championship, and I said it. He's one less feature than the guys he's racing with, yet he's only 3 points behind. Yeah. Imagine if he had that one more A main that we might be talking about Steven Hendrickson trying to win the points title because he's first, not, you know, trying to pass from second into first this weekend, which, I mean, a 3-point swing is easy. You can out-qualify someone and get that swing right there. It's inches between, you know, first, second, and third in the sporty class.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really fun on this Saturday night to kind of watch how that shakes out. I'm excited. Deming, we were just talking about, yep. Deming wrapped up their season, and they had some track champions up there, and a couple of them are guys that we've seen run here at Skagit, yep. through the years, and several names you might recognize.
Yeah, so congratulations, Kyle Mitchell. He picks up the 1200, Shostako 1200 Espresso Season Championship. Colin Mackey picks up the Speedmart 600, 11 wins on the year for him, what I believe is a new Deming Speedway record in the open class. Doyle Guffey, Rally Auto Parts, 600 Restricteds. Congratulations, Colton Knapp. I believe 13 feature wins. Is that the correct number?
No, I'm not even. It sounds about right.
Right about there. But he was dominant in the junior sprints. He was dominant in the restricted. Capstone Plastering Junior Sprints goes to
Savannah Hillier. Yep. Super exciting there. Savannah had not won a race in a couple of years, and she gets a track championship. So that was pretty neat to see. She had no idea when she even pulled off the racetrack. Saturday night that she was the track champion when we told her, Savannah, you just got the track championship.
Did she know she was leading it, though, at least going into the night? Or
I don't know. Okay. I do not know. But she did, we told her, like, Savannah, you just won the track championship. And she lit up, really? Like, yep, you are a track champion. So if you're looking for a junior sprint, the Hilliers have theirs for sale.
Is she going to go restricted racing next year?
I'm not sure what her plan is, but they're going to sell the junior sprint. So okay. I don't know if that'll be it for Savannah or if she'll keep racing. I think that this year certainly showed her that, okay, I can race, so yeah. That'll be fun. But she's busy with sports at school and, you know, growing up, and it's been fun to watch. But if you're looking for a junior sprint, the track champion from this past year has theirs for sale.
Shane Smith gets it done in the Northwest Focus Midgets. So Deming Speedway all wrapped up for the year. What a fun year it was going to Deming Speedway. And, I mean, I always enjoy going to Deming Speedway. Blake, you've started going more. Mm-hmm. It's so fun to watch, you know. I mean, we have our big board. This is what racing every Friday. It's future stars of Skagit Speedway, and I think it's so true. Yeah, we talked about it earlier. Like, it is the future stars of Skagit Speedway.
It's the future stars and current stars of Skagit Speedway. I mean, shoot, you look, Colin Mackey won the track championship, and he's running a 410 mm-hmm. now weekly. Obviously, that wasn't the plan when they started the season for Colin, but now here he is, and
he's got plans to run a 410 full time next year,
which love hearing that. So next year is going to be fun. We'll talk about it a lot through the off season in our podcast, but as we start to, you know, hear things and find things out, we'll have to get Caleb Hart on the show.
Yes, please.
A little bit more.
I felt
because Caleb,
we haven't been able to have him on,
but Caleb's got a good pulse of things, mm-hmm. of what's, you know, who's moving up and what's going on. Obviously, Caleb works at Joe's Racing Products, yep. every day, and he talks to a lot of the teams on a daily basis because they're buying things from Joe's. So, as I said earlier, I had lunch with Caleb on Sunday this week and kind of learned of several teams that are planning on moving up from Deming up to here. So, it's going to be fun. I enjoy that. I like the excitement. And several of our 360 teams are planning on moving up. So, there's going to be some jostling around, which is fun. As we mentioned, we've got the ladder system here, and it's mm-hmm. working quite well. And it's fun to see Deming kind of get their footing and providing us with a lot of the stars, and which is the way it should be, and we're happy to work with them, and we work quite well with the Lemleys, and it's a good episode to go back and listen to if you get a chance, because we had Paul on, like, episode 4.
Paul, Bill.
and why am I blanking?
Dave's the other.
Yep, Dave passed away.
It was me, you.
We're the Lemley brothers, and I'm absolutely put myself on the spot.
It was Paul and Bill.
Paul and Bill, yep. Yeah. Paul and Bill.
Yeah.
So
you were right.
And Dave's passed away, but they got into our Hall of Fame. That was early July we had them on, because Hall of Fame night was July 12th, which is hard to believe.
It feels like it was just yesterday.
Nonetheless, go back, give that episode a listen. And like we say all the time, I've already said in this episode, if you're coming here to Skagit, visiting us on a Saturday night, you're looking for something to do on Friday night, go to Deming a half hour up the road. They run an efficient show. You will not regret it.
Well, not. They're done this year, but...
If you're coming next year, obviously. We run the next two Fridays, but certainly add that onto your calendar. Go support Deming.
Go to their Clay Cup. We're off that weekend in July.
But, it's been a great season at Skagit, and we're already kind of got the ball rolling on several things for 2026, and we'll go to a couple of the promoters meetings and have our schedule out later this fall, early winter, depending on, obviously, we like to work with all the other tracks in the area down into California, get all our ducks in a row, make sure we're not scheduled on top of anything that's popping up, and trying to grow 410s on the West Coast. That is the ultimate goal, is getting 410s back to how they were on the West Coast, and we are chipping away at it. We're making good progress, and that's great to see. But We appreciate all the support on a weekly basis. We've had phenomenal crowds. And if you're not able to make it this weekend, check out our YouTube channel. We'll be live on YouTube on Friday and Saturday. You can watch for free. If you're watching, make sure you subscribe to our channel. Make sure you like the stream for us. That seems trivial to give that thumbs up, but it really does help us out and helps us get in the algorithm a little bit more. Let YouTube know that people like it, especially if they like watching racing videos. It'll kind of put them on our or put us on their radar and help us grow here at Skagit Speedway. And the more we can grow, the bigger things we can do at Skagit. We keep growing crowds. We can keep growing purses and all that and keeping big events coming here and helping out our local teams and continue to grow, which that's the ultimate goal. And I think we're trending in the right direction here. And a lot of that is due to the great race fans here in the Pacific Northwest.
And we're going to keep making strides on that YouTube stream, and we're going to keep working to make it better. And this offseason, I think, is going to be will be big for us in trying to just continue to improve. We've got a lot of things we want to do to really keep pushing that YouTube stream and making it better for the race fans.
We just need to need that time to be able to pick things apart and put it back together. So that's more so like as you mentioned, we've got the plans. We just need the time to be able to pull things apart and get them back in line. But just don't want to do that in the middle of the season and then
and ruin something,
that's working. So
we really appreciate everyone who tells us, you know, they watch and they really enjoy it.
We do appreciate that and hope that continue to watch, share those links, get people watching. The more we can grow that, the happier the powers that can be here at Skagit Speedway are, and we are. And we like to be able to provide that for free because, to my knowledge right now, we're one of the few tracks, if not the only track in the country, that streams on a weekly basis and doesn't charge the race fans or isn't behind a paywall, which is really neat, and we want to continue to provide that service for the foreseeable future.
Well, again, Blake said it, we're racing Friday and Saturday this weekend here at Skagit Speedway for season championship weekend. Skagit Casino and Resort Night, and fireworks on Saturday, the last fireworks show of the year. So you'll want to be here for that one.
Yeah, and if you're looking for something to do in the afternoon coming up for both days, Skagit Casino, 3 minutes away from the racetrack. Go get lunch at the casino, play some slots. If you're looking for hotel rooms, they've got a great hotel there. And like I said, 2-3 minutes away from the racetrack.
It's so close.
It's just right easy access to get there. It's right off of I-5, exit 236 off of I-5, and it's there, and then we're 2 to 3 minutes up the road from the casino. So,
racing casino. What's a better
what
night
more
than
could
that?
You want? Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be a great weekend. Hope you can join us. Like we said, if not, join us on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe to all of our social media channels. We've got the Snapchat rolling, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're all over the place. So check us out. Give us a follow. Give us a like. And share our stuff. Help us continue to grow. We're on a good pace here at Skagit, and we really appreciate it. And keep listening to the podcast.
Follow the podcast.
Yeah, follow the podcast because we'll keep the podcast coming in the winter. We'll keep things rolling, working on getting some guests lined up for the winter, and we'll do some maybe some more deep dive more than just a kind of half hour because we like to get you the news and notes. But we'll still have some news and notes for you in the off season. Maybe more on a national scale than local scale too. If you know some rides happening, I know. When this podcast comes out, I know a major sprint car ride being announced on Wednesday afternoon. A major, major sprint car ride announcement coming tomorrow afternoon. So
this will come out Thursday.
Yeah. So by the time this comes out, you'll already know. But I know that's going to happen. And then some big dominoes going to fall here in the coming weeks in sprint car racing across the landscape because I feel like this weekend is usually – I always have this weekend pinned on my map is when things start to fall into place for the next year is for Crown Weekend at Eldora Speedway. And that's certainly what it is with Kubota High Limit Racing being at Eldora. And if you are coming this weekend and needing something to watch, check out for Crown Weekend live on Flow Racing. They're 3 hours ahead of us. So they're going to start racing about 4 o'clock our time. So 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock our time. So you can watch something early in the afternoon. They're Friday and Saturday. So I'll have
it's Kubota and phone. USAC.
Yep. All three USAC divisions. Yep. On Saturday. Fridays usually midgets run their program.
Yeah.
The High Limit will run a full program on Friday. Midgets will run a full program. And Silver Crown usually qualifies on Friday.
Okay.
But that may have changed. I haven't dove into it a ton. But that's the way that the programs run the last handful of years. So it's going to be exciting. I know Dason Persley is running all the classes. So cool to see Dason pick up $30,000 this past week at Lernerville, his first career High Limit win. He's a big rising star in sprint car racing, so that's going to be fun to see if that kind of gets the monkey off his back. He has He's in the hunt for – I saw High Limit posted yesterday the two drivers in the hunt for the most improved driver, which they take the first half of the season, the last half of the season, take your average finish, and whoever has the biggest improvement. And I think Cy Lynch is up 4.42 positions, and Dayson Purcell is up 2.97. Yeah. So cool to see some guys starting to – rookies that are really starting to find their footing on the national sprint car landscape, and those are two guys to keep an eye on. And Cy is a guy that came out here and ran Dirt Cup and supported Skagit Speedway, and we really appreciate that. And I know that – they'll be coming out here the foreseeable future for Dirt Cup and obviously for the High Limit race. So that's exciting to see. But big week of racing ahead, Eric List, and we look forward to seeing everyone on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, with that, buy your tickets online, skagitspeedway.com. Gates open at 5. Qualifying and racing then starts at 7. So thanks so much for joining us this weekend on the Gas, presented by Skagit Speedway. We hope to see you here soon.